Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yellow from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking Doc.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, Z-Man.
What up, yo? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice Warp.
This your man, Mastermind of Hell, Razor.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
Somebody that's no stranger to the platform, always has music coming out. I've been covering his music probably for the better part of the last 20 years. It's a huge honor to welcome back to the show Memphis' own one and only Two Tone. Man, how you doing, brother? Hello?
You doing all right?
Yeah, you there, brother?
Hello?
Yeah,
I'm here,
you,
man.
Now.
You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing real good, man. I'm happy to be able to catch up with you again because I know you're putting out music all the time. Man, what's the latest that you got out right now we can look forward to?
Oh, man, I got to do it for Daddy. I got plenty. I'm dropping every 3 weeks, man. Some coming out every 3 weeks, so you know it's a nonstop.
Yeah. Now this time around, you're doing singles for a while, ain't you?
Yeah. While I'm working on the Fuck I Turned Out album, I'm dropping singles. So, you know, I'm trying to burn them up, man. I got plenty in the vault, so like, it ain't no reason to hold it, man. We dropping.
Yeah, hell yeah. You and Mr. 420 both been putting in a lot of work. Man, how long have you known 420?
I met 420 on a tour with Infamous. We was actually in Nashville, and I had known him, but he was supposed to open up for us in Nashville. I think it was me, Chad, and Infamous was performing. I can't even remember the venue, but was performing in Nashville, and I met him, and he talked to Infamous, and Infamous was impressed with him, and the rest is history.
Memphis is such a talented city. You know what I'm saying? So many people came out of there. You were in the thick of it and got to witness it all come together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You grew up down the street before the Infamous, didn't you?
Next door. It's not down the street. Next door. I could walk out my door and walk in here.
So you guys,
and the actual,
you got to see the whole thing then, everything.
Yeah, and Paul, Paul was there. The actual picture on the Fuck How I Turn Out album cover is on Lord Infamous' porch.
Wow.
Yeah, I have to send it to you, man. But the actual album cover, I'm sitting on his porch. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting right there on his porch where he stayed. So the album cover is like, man, it's gonna be legendary. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Paying homage to your longtime friend. Did he? Since he came up, before you. Was he instrumental? Like, did he help you and influence you in any way to do what you're doing now?
Well, yeah and no, because I'm just gonna be real, because like I said, I'm younger than Lord was, and seeing him, we just kicking it, interacting. Him and my cousin, RIP, my cousin passed away as well. Seeing them interact, I was just the younger guy that just was kicking it with them. But, he influenced me. I don't think him and Paul was rapping then when I met him. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't no music stuff. And, when it came about, he was like, he actually doing music. He used to sit there I just remember him sitting on the steps. And I was like, I didn't think nothing about it. He was like, man, I'm just sitting there, reciting. He said reciting. He didn't say rapping. And it was like, shoot, I used to sit there and listen to him or whatever. And next thing you know, I was like, shoot, dude, I want to rap. You know what I'm saying? I was playing basketball, and I was like, man, I want to rap. And next thing you know, it was R.I.P. Ramsey. Which Ramsey ends up doing a song with Paul. On Paul, I think Paul 15, and he was talking about the Crime Click, which was, that's the name of our neighborhood. Which me and my associates, we called our group the Crime Click because that was the neighborhood. Because we out here hustling, and boom, there, that's how that happened. And Infamous would drive through. Because, they had moved away. He would drive through all the time, just constantly. Like, Paul now would come through. They had, they had went to Black Haven. They would still come through. And Infamous was like, you nice, And I want, at that time, I don't know if you know our old stuff. I was rapping fast then. And I was like, but now I was like, man, I didn't get, started getting older. I was like, man, 20. I was like, fuck that rap shit, like fast shit. Bone can have it because I felt like they done took that. Let me do something else. So I was like, I want you to hear everything that I say. I don't want no problems. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's how all that came about.
Wow. So yeah, you eventually developed your own style, kind of separated from what everybody else was doing at the time, because everybody was twisted at the time. Everybody.
Yeah, and a lot of people probably don't know, but you say like everybody was twisting. Everybody was twisting, but Gangsta Black and Player Fly.
Yeah.
Skinner was twisting, and I can say this about Skinner. Skinner T. Skinner was the first person to put me in the studio. Besides what I did with the Crime Click, when I was doing it, Skinny, I ended up hooking up with Skinny Pimp. Skinny was the first person. I don't even know if he released the song, but Skinny was the first person that fucked with me.
He put you in the
before,
studio. He must really was really impressed with you at that time.
And that me and him never had that conversation.
No.
I never, to this day, me and Skinny never had that conversation. But I respect him, and I appreciate him to the utmost. Because of that, it's just like, he took a chance, put me in the studio. I don't know what album project he was working on, but I don't even know if he ever released it, honestly. because, you know, I was more into the streets. So if he released it, I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm like, I'm pulling this. I'm going to run back here and, you know, do my thing because I'm getting money. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
He could have released it.
You had other priorities at the time.
Yeah, like the way my life was set up, you know, I'm just being real. You know what I'm saying? At that time, the way my life was set up, you know, so I'm like, he could have released it. And that's I never asked him, did he ever release it? Or if he still got it?
What year was this? Because I know, before Paul and them started blowing up, Skinny was the man. He was dropping tapes, and was this around like midnight? Like, it was before you guys dropped your first tape, right?
No, it was after. Like I dropped my first tape, and that was after that though. Before I did my first solo album, so it was. That was like, man. Dude, I don't remember what year it was, but I know Rusty recorded it in Frito's studio, which Frito's was like in Orange Mound at the time. A guy named Rusty owned it. And, dude, now you got me thinking I need to call Skinny when I get off the phone. But, because I don't know what happened to the phone. Yeah, and I'm like, I don't really know, so I can't lie, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if it ever came out. Because,
you
like
know
I said, my interest wasn't in it like that then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was just like, man, I'm getting my money. As the new album is called Fuck How It Turned Out, F-H-I-T-O, that's how I felt, you see what I'm saying? I was like, man, I'm going to rap this. Boom, I'm going to keep it moving. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, man, I imagine there's all kinds of music that never seen the light of day from that era. Even if it was just guys just going in the studio fucking around or something, you know what I'm saying, freestyle, whatever, fans would love to hear it. Hopefully Skinny has that. But you never, you haven't worked with him since, huh?
No, he worked after that. You know, I got him on my In Too Deep album. You know, I did this. I was the one who did it. Me and the guy who did my Crime Click album, Gooch, we got him to be on T-Rock Conspiracy Theory album. So we did all, we funded all that stuff. It was just another cat that I refused to say his name to give him any airtime. He intervened. You know what I'm saying? But I got the, if you go to the site, we got the Conspiracy Theory on vinyl and cassette, if somebody want it. But my first album that I did, solo album, it was, you know, Skinny on it. And, you know, he blessed me with it. And, you know, me and him had a conversation then, but after that, me and him hadn't worked. Since, me and him have talked, you know what I'm saying? But we hadn't worked together.
Now, I think it was last time we had you on the show. You were telling us a little bit about altercation that you or that DJ Paul was getting into at a show, and you helped him. Tell us about that again, man. What exactly went down, man? It was it a bunch of people just against you and Paul?
Well, okay, it was in Nashville. Project Pat touched on it on Vlad. I want to make sure. I am not going to say Glad like Crunchy. Vlad. Vlad TV. So we was in Nashville, and I think me and Paul actually shared rooms. We had a room together, and this is how crazy this is. This how I'm going to tell you how to think I am, that I don't give a fuck about celebrities. I had no idea who Kimora Lee Simmons was. She came up to me. She was talking to me, you know, and she needed, you know, like, you know, she was like, she was asking me something. So I didn't know who she was. I thought she was just a tall Chinese chick. So we went downstairs to, I don't know if it was like a ballroom or something, but it was a dude named Sammy or somebody had a party. And we was just, you know, mingling or whatever. Next thing I know, a fight broke. It was an altercation. I'm trying to leave everybody innocent at this point. And I can say it by myself. I'm like, it was an altercation. And me and Paul handled the business down there. Everybody else, if you go back and look at that Vlad TV episode, Project Pepper talked about it. Yeah, that was me. I did that. You know what I'm saying? We cleared the room. You know what I'm saying? Me and Paul. And if you ask him, he'll tell you. He was like, yep. He probably going to call me back. He might say my nickname. He might say Tucson. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to say my nickname on here with, you know, what everybody calls me, but we're going to leave it at Tucson.
So, that's wild.
You know, it was one of my occasions. We cleared the room. You know what I'm saying? We cleared the room and got out of there.
Got out of there in one piece. So Paul, you know what I'm saying? Who is wild, more crazy? Was it Paul or Lord Infamous?
Man, I'm going to say Lord.
Yeah.
Which Paul will probably tell you, you know, he like, if somebody fuck with him, you know, he know I'm a ride with him. Because like I said, you know, our neighborhood, like, he was from, before he went to Black Haven, he was in Magnolia. So,
yeah.
And that's how we grew up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if we go together somewhere, we scrapping for each other. But this is how it's supposed to be. You see what I'm saying? If we ride together, now we coming back together. You feel what I'm coming from?
Yeah, you got that.
And
that's how,
yeah, you know, some people probably, you know, these new niggas, you know, probably ain't the same. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
well,
I feel like if I ride with you out of
if I
ride with you out of town,
hey,
and what you say, if I ride with you out of town, we ride, it's whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and me and him, we rode together. All right, we coming back together. It's whatever, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, everybody, you know, like these new niggas ain't like that.
No, there's no loyalty, man. Loyalty is something of the past. It's, you know, and it's getting worse. I believe it's because, you know, a lot of it has to do with this music nowadays, man. It's just not... there's no substance, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I go and get a two-tone album, I'm going to get a little bit of everything, but I'm always going to get substance in there, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm always going to get real street stories or you know what I'm saying, song dedicated to somebody or, you know. But a lot of these dudes, it's just party records. That's all they do, you know. It's all popping pills. A lot of that shit's fucked up. What are your... what about, you know what I'm saying, while we're talking on this, then we'll move on, because we got some dope music to play, a lot of other things to cover. But you being from Memphis, man, you guys lost another real one, Gangsta Boo, top of the year. Do you have any recollections or thoughts of that you'd like to share about her?
Man, Boo only did one song together. You know, me and her had, you know, we was perfectly fine, like, if you look back in that Vibe magazine cover, I'm the one standing like by the pole, you know, looking over. You probably can't see my face, but, you know, we was cool, you know, over everything. But we had a altercation when Infamous died. And, you know, me and her actually didn't speak after that, because when Infamous died, you know, because, you know, me and Infamous had started Black Rain at the time. And, you know, it was like, it was one of those things, like, she was like, you know, make sure, you know, she called me when he died, and I was like, what's going on? She was like, don't talk to nobody. I was like, I ain't talking to nobody. You know, I'm thinking like I had talked to nobody. And she was like, Paul never got there. I'm like, No, I ain't fucked up about that shit. I'm like, I'm not saying nothing because, you know, that's his family. You know what I'm saying? You respect family. You know what I'm saying? I don't need no person intervening, you know, telling me to respect somebody's family. You know what I'm saying? And she didn't like how I came back at her, so me and her didn't talk. Which I feel like it was no disrespect, but I feel like you should respect them because they family, and you stay out of the shit like I'm staying out of the shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
I'm like, and then, you know, I didn't even say, I've known them longer than you known them. You know what I'm saying? But that was never an issue with me, but, you know, I had number love her. We did one song together, and the song was actually recorded at the Black Rain Studio, which the studio at that time, you know, was in my house. So, you know, I ain't got number love for her, but it wasn't no disrespect, you know what I'm saying? It was just like, that was our last conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, she didn't take it as good. I think she blocked me on social media, everything.
Well, it's a shame.
That was our last conversation.
It's a shame because, you know, you guys could have made a lot of good music over the years, but it happens. What was your, do you remember the last time you seen Lord Infamous? And if so, how was he doing? I mean, how did he appear to you? Was he happy?
Man, he was cool. I saw him like the day before. And it's just funny. The day before, me and him had, I think we had cash and checks. Which sounds funny. We actually cashed some checks the day before. And, you know, that was the last time I saw him. We actually cashed some checks. And it was like, I think we was talking about we were going to do some features. And he was like, now I got to do such. And I was like, shoot, I'm going to do mine probably in a day or two because when I had time. And he was like, that was our last conversation.
Yeah, he passed away the day after, huh?
Yeah, probably it could have been a day or two. I'm not going to say if it was a day. It could have been 2 days. And, you know, I used to have it saved in my phone. I used to delete shit so I have his last call. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how crazy that shit was. I'm like, I did that for a long time. You know what I'm saying? Like, because, you know, I really couldn't, you know, like, damn. You know, like, are you serious? When they called me, I was like, it can't be real. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's too young, man. And plus, what he had survived, I remember about a year before he passed, he was on our show telling us about, you know, the stroke and heart attack that he survived previous. And his vision of going to hell and then coming back up. And, you know, so I thought, man, this dude, he'll survive anything. You know what I'm saying? To come back from that, you know.
Yeah.
But I was glad he got to, you know, reunite with the guys a little bit and do his thing because I know he wanted to do that at some point. So, you know, that was a blessing. But, hey, you got to know him majority of your life, and you got to work with him. You guys were a powerhouse independent label yourself, and you did a lot of big things, man. So, you know, it was a blessing for you.
Yeah, you know, I'm thankful. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
yeah.
You know, like when I talk to Paul, you know, me and him, it ain't nothing but love. You know, I don't have no anger against nobody in 3T. It's like, you know, we just, you know, we keep it 100. You know, everybody know where everybody is at. You know, and I think the last time I saw Paul probably was at Infamous Funeral. Because I try to stay in my own lane. I don't fuck with nobody. So, I go in my neighborhood, I'm still good. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people can't go. I can walk in my neighborhood tomorrow and do a video. I'm still good. I'm still good in the hood. You know, a lot of people can't go back to their old neighborhood and do that. You know what I'm saying?
No. No, man. A lot of people, they get out of there and then that's it. You know, they don't they don't come back. But that's good to be able to have, you know what I'm saying, your foot in the streets to the point to where you can say, hey, man, check out this new music coming before anybody else. Like Short Dog would do,
yeah.
Block in Oakland, give everybody a tape, man. What do you think of this shit? You know? So that's where you're going to get the best opinions. Let's go to one of these tracks. You sent me three bangers, man. We got Me Too, Do It For Daddy, and High 40.
Oh.
Which one do you want to go with first, brother?
Man, look. Okay. The Do It For Daddy, man, it was a song because I'm like, man, we've been pimping since pimping been pimping. You know what I'm saying? I come from a long line of pimps. You know what I'm saying? I'll just be honest. So, you know, it don't start, you know, you gotta speak the facts. So, which I thought that song was like, man, it was how it was gonna be received as some negative, but with, you know, me speaking a lot of truth and 420 speaking truth, people probably wouldn't understand it how it is. Dude, I went on which in Memphis, 7A, Highway 7A is the whole show, supposed to be the whole show. But these guys ain't pimping how pimping would just be pimping. These hoes regular out here. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you go ask all these hoes suffering, you know what I'm saying? If you go ask them some real pimps like Pimp the King, these hoes don't supposed to be displayed like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to speak pimping to you. You know, I'm just being honest. Hey, your product is everything. You know what I'm saying? Your product is everything. If you see the hoe on the street walk with some Crocs, you know what I'm saying? Something ain't right. These hoes suffering. You know what I'm saying?
Crocs. You better get penicillin right away.
Hey, these hoes out here suffering. You know what I'm saying? These hoes ain't secure. You know what I'm saying? So
no.
With that being
man.
Said, you know, I was thinking a lot like, man, I need to explain to these people how this shit really works. You know what I'm saying? So I came with the Do It For Daddy. You know what I'm saying? Boom. I was like, man, because I was like, a lot of these dudes, look, these dudes out here riding scufflers. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, how you pimping? You can't even get a, look, I saw a dude, man, he's called himself pimping, man. He had a Tahoe on his car. And, well, I said Tahoe on his car. The car was a Tahoe. And I was like, dude, how you on flat, man, and the tire shop across the street, and you a pimp? This shit is not working for you. You know what I'm saying? You might need to get to a 9-to-5. You know what I'm saying? This is not the best business for you. You know what I'm saying? And me and him got into a verbal altercation. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with getting physical. You know what I'm saying? But these new niggas ain't they don't want to get physical. They'll shoot, bro. Look, you know, they ready to shoot. They say they'll shoot because they can't fight.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, I'm ready for whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're from
but
a different
at the
era.
End of the day.
Yeah,
at the end of the day, I'm
era
like,
where
okay.
You had to fight.
Yeah, so that, they ain't trying to get physical. So I'm like, my thing is, okay, man, you say you got three holes out here, but you can't get a goddamn new tie. Well, a goddamn Tahoe, you riding on a goddamn donut. That ain't pimping. You pimping in my eyes. Yeah, I'm like, man, you might as well take your bitches home. You know what I'm saying? That, hey, remember they said, when motherfuckers get mad, you take your ball and go home? Just go home, dog, because this shit ain't for you. You know, everything is for everybody. I'm just being real.
Gangster Pat
you know
would
saying?
Say, I'm at ask them hoes.
Hey, look.
Yeah.
And look. I be laughing, me and him be laughing about this shit, but that's honesty, you know what I'm saying? And gangsta, I tell you, that's honesty. You need to take your bitches and go home. If you got some bitches, you need to take them and go home, because y'all not going to make it no matter here, because y'all ain't going to survive.
Yeah. That's what's up, man. Well, this is Two Tone feature, Mr. 420, Do It For Daddy. You did the production on this, or?
I'm trying to think who did that. Do For That, it was done by the track brokers, Cassius Black. He did that track. You know what I'm saying? He been around for a minute. He
I'm trying to think. He produced, like, I hadn't released it yet. He did a couple of bangles for me, but they coming soon. But it was Cass Black, him and Jack Daniels. They're a team called Track Brothers, but I use mostly Jack Daniels tracks. But you know, but he coming soon. I got a lot of shit coming for him.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Well, don't go nowhere. We're right here with Two Tone Murder Master Music Show. This is Two Tone. It's 420. Do it for Daddy. Be right back. Pimpin' Anthem right there, Do It For Daddy, Two Tone, Mr. 420, Black Rain Entertainment. Yeah, that one right there, man, that's another one. You know, what's been the reaction you've gotten from that so far?
Man, you know, people actually like that song. You know, it shocked me. I was looking at the plays on it, like the analytics. I was like, I didn't think, you know, me talking about what we was talking about, subject matter, it was going to be accepted how it did. But, man, it's been great. I ain't going to lie. But I was like, yeah, man, I need to go run a video yet.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, you got
it's actually been great right now.
You got, I want to remind everybody, too, you know, check out the new Mr. 420 Memphis May featuring yourself. Very dope video. you know what I'm saying? That's out right now as well. We got a couple more songs we're going to play. First, let's get to the homie Sin. I know he's going to go back on you and ask some questions from the vault. Sin, you there, brother? France. The French Connection.
Yes, yes, yeah. The French Connection. Hi, Scott. Tom, Jean Barry. Yes. go back in the old times. Can you tell us about the this song Grew Up in Magnolia from your group, the Graham Clique, back in the day?
Which song about a Graham Clique?
Grew Up in Magnolia.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to think. It wasn't a song. The one, I'm trying to think, that wasn't the name. I don't think that was the name of the song. You got me thinking, like, which song was it? Magnolia, that is, my fuck. I remember the sample. I remember the loop that we did on there. I grew up in Magnolia, that is my fucking hood. But now you got me trying to think which song that was on. You know, I'm saying that because, dude, I recorded, like, thousands of songs. So I'm trying to think, like, I remember that saying, is the lifestyle of a thug? You got me thinking about songs off the album, which I'm like, damn.
Yeah, it was a tape.
I think it was Lifestyle of a Thug. I think that was Lifestyle of a Thug, the actual song. They said that on there at the beginning. I grew up in Magnolia, that is my fucking hood. That was Lifestyle of a Thug.
Yeah.
Man, we was just, dude, when we recorded that song.
I'm looking, Two-Tone, not to interrupt you, brother. I'm looking at the Million Ways to Murder tape, and on the picture here. It says "Grew Up in Magnolia." That's what they call it on here. But
wasn't the title. That's not even the title of the song, bro.
Yeah, that's something else. Huh?
So on that album, that's not even a title of the song. This song is called "Lifestyle of a Thug."
Oh, okay.
This song is actually called Lifestyle of a Thug. And, dude, we recorded ARP, and that song, I wrote that joint, like, right there at the studio, because me and Chaz would talk, and I'd be like, man, I need this. I couldn't actually physically play whatever it was that was, you know, needed to be in the song, but, you know, I had a vision. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I could be like, okay, we need this and her, do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I heard sounds in other songs. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know, if you hear, like, which we know we need a snare 808. I was like, but I need this sound. You know what I'm saying? You know, that was one of the things I was like, I like how that sounds. I'm a sound person. I love sound, if that makes sense. So I used to be like, man, I need this sound in here, boom, 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 and that's how the song's coming up. Even with the stuff I do now, I'm like, DJ Mike, Jack Daniels, he's got to say Jack Daniels. I usually say, like, man, I like, you know, I'm a sound person. So with that being said, I get to where, okay, I want a sound, and I'm like, can you put this in this song? That's how all those songs came about for the Crime Click album. And the dude Gooch, which, like I said his name before, he came pick me up, and he was like, I'm going to take you to the studio. He was going to record me, and I said, no, I got a group. And that's how everybody, you know, I'm like, I wrote all this shit. I had a whole folder for a group. I'm like, man, we got a group. And boom, that's how the album started. And Death Wish was actually the first song we ever recorded.
Dope one, yeah. Yeah. And Grew Up in Magnolia was also called Lifestyle for Thug, in fact.
Yeah, that was the name of that song. What you're talking about, that was Lifestyle for Thug.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I don't know how far that, I couldn't tell you which song that was, but, you know, we had recorded that, but I don't know which song in the, we were recording that was, but we did that, and I think, dude, I might be lying to you, I probably was 13. Of 13 or 14. Might be 13.
There is a strong theory, like Memphis Rap Singers, I think about Million West Murder or Four Corners or something. What do you think about it, about this Memphis Rap Singers legend, or maybe something true?
Can you repeat that? Because I couldn't understand what you were saying.
Oh, it was some tapes, 8 tapes, was called Memphis Rap Figures. It was not a tape. Yeah, some Memphis tapes are haunted.
Haunted Memphis tape. Devil shit?
Yeah.
I think he's talking about like some devil shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like Maria.
Okay. Somebody asked me about this the other day. My first actual recording, it wasn't the Crime Click. It was called The Outlaws. And it was called Satanic Verses. That was I think I still got that cover that I drew, because it was from, I drew the Daredevil cover, and it was our first cassette that we recorded. My guy Link One had moved there from California, and we recorded on his turntable. He was putting vinyl on, and was recording off of it. That was the actual first. And we was like, man, somebody already called. Tupac came out with a few of the Outlaws. Boom. So we was like, oh, fuck it. We're going to use the neighborhood name, the Crackly. Boom. And that's how we changed after that. With that being said, you know, we was like, I stuck with the Crime Click, and the record label I started, I was like, with the Crime Click, I'm like, we're in the hood, it's Criminal Records. So I started Criminal Records, me and Gooch, and we went from there, and then we had the Crime Click Soldier was part of the Crime Click. Boom, we did that. And I chilled out for a minute, because I was like, man, I just wanted to do me out here. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do an album, because, you know, people was like, man, you was bumping, why you ain't doing this? Whoop-de-whoop. So, boom. Next thing you know, N2D came out. And that's kind of like how the music stuff did for me.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a classic,
N2D. Which I forgot. I left the project out in there. It was a little heavy project after the Crime Click Soldiers. Little Heavy came out, and I did that. So it was the Crime Click, Million Ways to Murder, the Crime Click Soldiers, then I did Little Heavy, Illegal Fail, then N2D.
Yeah. Right. From your album, Heaven Sent Hellbound, you got a song, dub song, what's called Got a Habit. Can you tell us about this one?
Oh man! Okay, man, that's wild. Okay, that song got a habit. That song came because I was like, I just wanted to hustle, get high, chill. You know what I'm saying? That was one of those songs. So I was like, if I keep doing this, I'm not gonna live much longer. So I was just like, man, I got a habit, and I was into Marilyn Manson was like my outlet. Like, and I know people might say they're strange because I'm a rapper, but I listen to Marilyn Manson. I loved Marilyn Manson. Dude, I was like, man, if I could get a song with him now, I would do it. Even though, you know, he had that little situation going on, which I don't condone, but I just was a fan, you know what I'm saying, at the time. And, you know, that's strange because, you know, a lot of rappers ain't into, you know, they're different genre. You see what I'm saying? But I was a Marilyn Manson fan. So I was like, man.
Yeah. I would have never thought.
Man, he did a song. I'm trying to think of the name of the song. I think it was Great Big White World. I think that's the name of the song. And I was like, man. And I think he did it in a show. He was like, man, I'm on a cloud. So I just repeated what he said. Because I thought, I was like, man, to me, that was like the coolest thing ever. You know what I'm saying? At that age, I was like, damn, that's the coolest thing ever. Yeah, man, that's how it came. That's how that song came about. I was like, man, I'm gonna talk about my situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that was because I was a Marilyn Manson fan, and
you flipped it.
He probably could give two shits about me at this point. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, dude, I'm a hip hop artist as a Marilyn Manson fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not listening. Dude, it was Prince, Michael Jackson, Marilyn Manson. So
hey,
like,
man, I listen to shit like ZZ Top and fucking Metallica once in a while, and I just started getting in that stuff because I've always been hip hop. But you know, you listen back at Prince and all this stuff that you grew up with in the '80s. Some of that shit's dope music, man.
Yeah, and there, you know, it was like, and you know, it wasn't. And, you know, sometimes it wasn't just – I didn't care what, as being an artist. What he was saying, it was muted in my head. It was the music. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was the instrument.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? The instruments and, you think about the instruments, percussion, everything. It was the sounds. Like I was saying, it sounds with me. You see what I'm saying? And he had the sounds that attracted me. You see what I'm saying? So what he was saying, I don't give a fuck what he was saying. It was muted in my head. You know what I'm saying? But it was his tracks that was like, I could rap over this shit and be serious. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm a sound person. I like sounds. And for some reason, I don't know why, but I'm just a sound person. Like, and that's just my vibe. But... And
you can hear it in a new direction. You know, that whole album, you can hear it.
Yeah, and that album, man, I was like, I think I was on some, like, that's why it's called New Direction. I was on some different shit.
Yeah, you sampled
a
lot of dope shit on that album.
Yeah, I'm like, right now, if you ask me what was the funnest album that I ever recorded, I would not say In Too Deep was my first one, because In Too Deep and Conspiracy Theory, when I did those two, my album and T-Rock album, people wouldn't believe it. Those albums recorded in 20 hours. No, 20 hours between two albums. I recorded mine and I recorded it in 20 hours.
Wow.
So with that being said, I can't say that's my funnest time in the studio recording the album, because you think about it, me and T-Rock recorded two albums in 20 hours. I blocked the studio off for 2 days, and me and him were going there. I drop a song, he drops a song. I drop a song, he drops a song. Then if it's something that I got to be on, boom, I'm dropping on his album. Boom, you know, he dropping on mine. That's how we did it, and those albums done and. Both of the albums did in the weekend, on a Saturday and Sunday.
That's amazing.
And I remember that like it's yesterday. Look, I still got the receipts to prove it.
You're talking about Marilyn Manson, and that Memphis rap was not heavy metal influence in Memphis hip hop is not new. It's very old, because we see DJ Pan & Juicy G sampling Black Sabbath for Catch a Blast or Prophet Posse, or Blackout, the producer said us he wear heavy metal shirts, T-shirts, or DJ Pan & Juicy G by the day do too. So, I think there are a connection with heavy metal and Memphis rap. But it's not you.
Yeah. There's definitely a connection with the... You listen to... listen to the N.O.G. album. I forget which song it is, but it's got heavy fucking guitar. I think Crazy, I think it is. I mean, just... I like hip-hop with heavy guitar in it, man. 8-Ball and MJG, they used a lot of it.
Yeah.
Memphis is known for that, but then again, Memphis is also known for the blues. You know,
yeah.
B.B. King, I mean, shit. Who did that song? Yeah. Oh, Al Capone, man. Shout out to Al Capone. He had that dope song, the music. We were just talking about Memphis music history going back to the 40s and 50s and 60s. I mean, you really grew up in one of the like musical meccas, you know what I'm saying, in this country, because it's still going strong. People are still influenced by the sounds of Memphis. Look what they're doing now with the Odyssey. Motherfuckers love what you guys are doing.
I can criticize all the time. Like, why would you change? I'm like, dude, I'm just being me. I don't know nothing else. So I'm like, you know, all I can do is be me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And being me is putting food on the table. You know what I'm saying? I can't change and be nobody else. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I can walk outside, I can go to my neighborhood where I grew up, and I can still be me. You know what I'm saying? And nothing changed. You know, there have been other artists like Dolph, you know, came up, which he wasn't from Magnolia. He was from Cascade, which is across the street, but we had the only elementary school, and the community center was in Magnolia, so he had to go to the elementary. If he wanted to go play basketball, hang out, you know, after school, he had to go to the community center. You see what I'm saying? It was just one of them things. You know what I'm saying? My neighborhood is still like, if somebody say, you know, you come to Memphis, you know, Magnolia. You know what I'm saying? Boom. I actually got a tattoo on my arm. You know what I'm saying? It's like R.I.P. Casey Red from New Orleans. When I met her, she had a song called Do the Mario. And, you know, she was like, I'm from the Magnolia. I'm like, shit, me too. You know what I'm saying? And me and her had that connection, and it was cool. You know what I'm saying? So I said, I'm from the Magnolia in Memphis. She was like, she was from the Magnolia in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? You know, it was a mutual respect.
Yeah, because you guys, you know what I'm saying, represent the Magnolia. you know what I'm saying? Also, man, you know, rest in peace, Soldier Slim. You know, Magnolia, a.k.a. Magnolia Slim, you know.
Well, definitely.
But, Tone, we're gonna go to, we got two more songs before we do. Sin, you got another question before we go to this next song?
Yes, the last question was about the song, Gotta Make It Shine with the Loud and Famous. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, Gotta Make It Shine, Lord Infamous. Clubhouse.
Gonna Make It Shine?
Yeah.
Gonna Make It Shine, Gonna Make It Shine. Oh, that one. Same kids from Toronto produced that one, and I was like, that was a song that, that was a spur of the moment song. Saint Kitts, he sent us a track, and I was just like, shoot, he had sampled. I'm trying to think who sampled on there. Was it Infamous? I don't remember off the top of my head, but he was like, you know, I wrote the rap like it. I wrote the rap like in 15 minutes. It wasn't a long process. Me and Infamous, you know, we recorded that the same night because he sent us a track. Enigma, man, he got the track, and man, the rest is history. It didn't take long. Everything on the album that was on the After Six album was recorded like in we took like a week to record that album, which we actually recorded, I think, probably like 25 songs for the album, for whatever we picked to put on the album. That album was like a quick process. It wasn't long, I'm not going to even lie, because we had just finished The Man of Myth, and we were like, man, we're going to do the After Six album, which The Man of Myth, I think, came out in November, and that After Six album came out in January. So we just kept recording. It was a process that we weren't going to stop. And from there came Blood Money.
Yeah, right.
With T-Rock,
right?
Yeah, right. Me, T-Rock, and we recorded that album, which, like I said, we was just recording, you know, nonstop. It was like I said, it was a process. You know, everybody was trying to, you know, every artist was trying to spit verses, just trying to get in because they wanted to be on the song. If you look at the After Six album, you'll see probably like 20 artists. After they recorded their verse, some of them went to jail, and we never heard from them again. You know what I'm saying? So we're just fucked up. But some of them we lost contact with because a lot of them went to jail, and it was just one of those things. You know what I'm saying? We wasn't trying to, like, you know, not associate with them, but, you know, we were recording the album, we were like, actually, and I had said this at the time, because Tupac had recorded something, actually, like, whatever he said, that's going to be the hook, and we're going to keep going because we ain't got time to waste. I had implemented the same thing. I'm like, whatever somebody say, fuck it, we're gonna use that as the hook, and we're going to keep going. And that's actually how the After Six album happened. T-Rock sent some songs in. He had some of his artists. You know, that was actually how the album happened. It was like, we're going to drop this, and we're going to do the Blood Money album. We did the Blood Money album with the same mindset. All three of us are going to rap a verse on here, and we're going to keep going. My album, the New Direction album, was supposed to come out after Blood Money, but I pushed it back because Infamous had their stroke. And we did the Futuristic Right About a Hunter. And I was like, man, it was actually a process because I think we brought out, ended up doing the Mac Montez album. So after he had his stroke, I was like kind of in the mask, but it's like, damn, I wouldn't want to finish my album. I think I did like 40. I still got songs from the New Direction album, Prez.
Really? Wow.
Hell, they're unreleased. That I never released. I still got songs from the album because I have been recording the album so many years, but when that shit happened, it kind of fucked me up. It was still songs that's unreleased from the album.
Oh, man.
And that album was like shit.
So you got stuff, you know what I'm saying, that has a similar sound, because that whole album, man, is just banging, man. I still listen to it. When did it drop? 2017. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
It should have been dropped. The album should have been dropped in like 2010.
Wow.
But I was just on some different shit. I was like, I'm gonna record some more shit, and I was telling them, like, you know, you know, just as an artist, I'm not satisfied. Then I kept pushing the shit back, and, you know, then he ended up passing. Because I didn't feel like I had a song that I wanted him on the album. And he was like, well, you need to pick something. I was like, shit, I couldn't pick nothing. But I ended up with a whole bunch of verses from Infamous, unreleased, that I didn't use on the album. And Shay Daniels was like, well, at this point, we like, shit, what you want to do? You know what I'm saying? No, he's fast now. We got the verses.
So you got a bunch of stuff in the vault, you know, and that's always good to know. I interview people and they tell me, man, like, for example, there was a Ghetto Boys album that was recorded in 89 before Willie D and Scarface joined. It had the old members, you know, from the Making Trouble. And I forget what the name of it was. Reddy Redden was telling us about it. Jay scrapped it because they got the new lineup. So there's an original Ghetto Boys album out there that never seen the light of day, you know, which is crazy. Man. You know, there's supposed to be a whole briefcase of Eazy-E songs out there, you know.
I'm sure
we heard a couple of Eazy-E songs. We did hear, we heard some old ones that were done in like 87. But they said that up until he passed, he always carried a briefcase full of ADAT tapes and whatnot of songs. So hopefully they find that shit. But I hope you release some of that in the future, man, because I imagine it's real dope. Yeah. I look forward to that, definitely, definitely. But, hey, you got a lot of music coming out right now, though. You know what I'm saying? You got stuff you're dropping, like you said, every few weeks. Let's give them another song. Then I want to come back. I want to give you a phone and talk about all that stuff that you got coming. What do you want to go with next, Me Too or Hot 40?
Man, we know Me Too. Me Too dropped, I think, on 4/7.
Yeah.
Man, that song, I actually recorded it because that song, you're going to say this strange. I was actually at a spot, this was before the Me Too movement started, so I actually recorded this song a long time ago. So I didn't know go fuck about no Me Too movement, which I still don't give a fuck about it because, you know, I'm sorry that people got raped, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I recorded the song, how the song came about was I went to a club and the lady was drinking. I was like, well, I'm about to drink. I didn't think it was no problem. And she was like, do you know who I am? I was like, no, you know, I don't know who you are. You're a lady, you know what I mean? That's how I thought of it. Because I bought your drink, I bought, you know, it's about 10 other people at this bar that I bought a drink. So, you're not excluded, in my mind, you know what I'm saying? She was like, you know, I do porn? I said, shit, me too. I was just being honest, and boom. And now, my producer, Jay Dane, he was like, that's the song right there. As soon as I said this shit, he was like, this is the song. I'm like, okay, so we left the bar and went and recorded. Then next thing I know, some motherfucker raping motherfuckers. I'm just there, you know, but I feel like that's fucked up shit how you did all those people, you know what I'm saying? But my intention when I created, so this the song had been shelved because of that. And I just feel like, If I go tomorrow, y'all getting everything I got. So at this point, since I'm coming out of the FHSTO album, fuck how it turned out. At this point, fuck how it turned out. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
It got to go. Everything got to go at this point, Bri. We're not saving nothing. Hey.
No, we ain't got much time anyway. The world is about to explode.
Put them feelings in your put your feelings in the pockets. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
let it go down.
But exactly. So I'm like, I've been sitting on this for a couple of years. You know what I'm saying? So fuck how it turned out. So the video dropped 4/7. The song dropped 4/7. Man, let's roll with it. You know what I'm saying?
We'll be right back. Two Tone. Don't go nowhere.
She told me that she do porn. Me too, me too, me too. She told me that she do porn. Me too, me too, me too. Screaming by my slang, from a boy to a man. Did my daddy was a pimp, so that's how a nigga train. White women, black women, Asian, fuck them all. We ain't tripping by no pussy, some like them big or small. Break the law of Tennessee, filming porn in the hood. Dogs in the south, it's all good. Yeah, women kissing women, ain't no thing that's elite. I get paid to fuck hoes, having fun doing this. Niggas say don't buy pussies, but you
say it's sexy as a motherfucker when you on your knees and pray.
Niggas worry about another nigga skeeting in they bitch. Why you out here saving hoes? Everybody getting rich.
Hold your thoughts, fuck your feelings. Everybody feeling pain. Cause these hoes wanna come and play in the black rain. HD, all on film, what you like to see? I can piss on a bitch, but she don't piss on me. Nah, hoes swallow cum, 69, get your mama wine. Luscious Lopez riding on a dick, you should see her grind. Hell the hunter, shake my head, hashtag true machine. I take my rubber off, I salute all the porn queens. Told me that she do porn, me too, me too, me too. She told me that she do porn, me too, me too, me too. She told me that she do porn, me too, me too, me too. She told me that she do porn, me too, me too, me too.
I'm talking about Me Too, man. We got to send that one right to the people that have the Me Too movement so they can enjoy it. That's you know who would be proud of that song right there? Man, rest in peace.
They might hate
Fresh
you.
Kid Fresh Kid Ice. Yeah, yeah, they would, yeah. They would say, this is perverted. They'd start stomping on it if you pressed up some vinyl.
They might hate you, you hear that?
Yeah. They would hate you. But no, man, that's on some Two Live Crew, Poison Clan, you know what I'm saying? Some strip club anthem shit right there. But you got so much stuff coming up. We got another song, Hot 40, we're going to close out the show with. It's been a hell of a show, man, talking to you. I want to find out, though, I want to give you the floor, and I want to find out what we got to look forward to in the months coming and down the road with you, Black Rain, and everything you got going, brother.
Man, I got the 420 album dropping, which on the 24th, we got Duckface dropping, Jay Daniel, our producer, he's dropping a single with DVS and the Clubhouse Click. I'm dropping every 2-3 weeks, so just stay tuned. I'm dropping a single till we get to the Fuck How I Turn That album featuring Twisted Insane. My brothers was insane. We got I Don't Know Jeffrey on there. I'm not sure if y'all familiar with him. He a Memphis artist. You know, we just trying to keep it popping out here. I got the Clubhouse Click working on the album. We got new artists. The Shelby Forest Click, you know, we doing something with them, and we're going to put them out through Black Rain, which DVS orchestrating it. So we're going to drop the DVS first. 420
that's
come out.
That's the crew Lil White was with, right? Not to cut you off.
Yeah.
That's
and that's the White crew. But I'm not going to say it's crew because, you know, the way the shit thumbed out, you know what I'm saying, it ain't his crew. It's the people he associated with at the time. We're going to say that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't got nothing to do with that because I hadn't seen the dude, the White. So me and him and, you know, I had the song, I'm trying to think, I can't even think of the name of the song now, but if you listen to my Intuitive album, he had a song that talks about drugs just like I talked about. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't know if he was trying to gimmick me or something, but and DVS said, sounds like it to him. So, you know, me and him have never had a conversation. And I hadn't seen that dude. And I hadn't seen a lot of them dudes in a long time. But me and Frazier Boy, and it's strange, you know, I fuck with Frazier. You know, me and him ain't never had no beef. Me and him just dropped some songs. So me and him got a project coming. Look, that was the After Blue project. Yeah, me and Frazier got a project coming.
The Fuck I Turned Out, it might have a Praise Boy feature on it. We got Twisted and Saint, I Don't Know Jeffrey. You know, people from Black Rain, and it probably be some more, because I'm like, I was going to do 10 songs, but I'm like, it might end up being more, because the way my life had turned out is, and I say this, they're going to miss me when I'm gone. And I'm not going to say this is my last project, but I'm saying they're going to miss me when I'm gone. And yeah. I can leave it at that, which I don't know. I'm like, right now I'm happy. I love this shit. You know, when you're gone, you're gone. You know what I'm saying? When I say I want to step away, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And it's, you know, I didn't gave my life to this since I was 12. Who knows how much in the tank? You know what I'm saying? Because
I'm with you on that, man.
You know, I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know how much in the tank. So, with that being said, and I posted this on all my social media accounts, y'all gonna miss me when I'm gone. So, you know, have it as we say, fuck how it turned out. You know, that's how I'm going out. Fuck how it turned out. So. Even if it be a part two, I got a part one on the way, and the cover sitting on Infamous Porch, you know. And you know you're gonna be the first to get it, Prez. You're going to be the first to get it. So you can tell me if my shit sink or swim. You hear me? In your toilet. I'm gonna put it in your toilet first.
I'm definitely looking forward to checking it out, because I already know, you know what I'm saying, from Into Deep, Heaven Sent, Hellbound, all the stuff you've done, New Direction, you always bring your A game. You know what I'm saying? What we've heard tonight so far, same thing. So,
you know,
definitely looking forward to how it turned out. I love that title.
So if my shit, you know, going to float in your toilet, you know what I'm saying, you let me know if the shit going to, you know what I'm saying, it ain't what it is. You know what I'm saying? We're going to flush it all, because every day is a new day that we're blessed with. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we just got to look at it like that. Now, when I tell you I'm done, I give you an excuse to let you know it's over with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But right now, I hope I love it for
many years, man, because without guys like you, I wouldn't be doing this shit. You know, real talk.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna cover no Tekashi 6ix9ine bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck him. You know what I'm saying?
That's what it,
look,
that's
I,
all
look,
there is.
I,
that's
I
when I'm out of here.
Oh look, and I make a song. And look, and on some real shit. If he want to pull up, cause I had some people email me about the song, and I was like, dude, you know, I be in Florida. You know what I'm saying? Wherever, you know what I'm saying? Just pull up. You know what I'm saying? Nobody. When I went to Florida, nobody pulled up. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dude, you know, I'm on some real shit. Fuck security. You know, I'm my own security. I'm saving that money. You know what I'm saying? I got my own scraps. You know what I'm saying? It's the crime clicker. We ain't called crime clicker. No, we've been with that shit. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, you pull up. You know what I'm saying? And none of his people pulled up. And, you know, when I sent the message back, you know, like, when I told him what it was going to be, I could have had a sit down with his folks, you know what I'm saying? But I still feel like you on some hoe shit. I did the song because you were on some hoe shit, because you snitched. You know what I'm saying? That was the only thing I said about, you know, if you feel some type of way, you know, DVS was on the song, 420 was on the song, if you feel some type of way, because my name was on the song and I had them featured on it, if you feel some type of way, you know, you need to reach out. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to come to Memphis and do no whole shit. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to pull up. If he came to Memphis, I'm going to pull up. You get the security, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to pull up, you know what I'm saying? Whatever happens, whoop the whoop. You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna make my presence be felt. So, you know what I'm saying? Because I ain't, like they say, and it's something that I ain't never understood, you know, like people say when you go to people's town, you know, you need to reach out. I've been to plenty of cities. I ain't never reached out to nobody. You know what I'm saying?
If you feel like I got to reach out, let's reach out to each other. You know what I'm saying? We can keep it cordial. We can get gangster. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's
gotta,
the shit on you, but...
You got to deal with different people accordingly now. You just don't know. You know, everything is everything's a volatile situation right around the corner. It's like with the cops. You just don't know, man. Which is, which cop asked for my license? The aggressive one or the one that's, you know, going to be let me go and let me slide? Probably ain't going to be that guy.
Let me hit you with this. I was in South Memphis today. I pulled up somewhere. A dude, you know, he was with the shit. You know, I'm from South Memphis. Magnolia's in South Memphis. I don't think the dude knew I was from South Memphis. He was with some bullshit, you know, and I was like, dude, it's whatever. He was like, you can check in every time. I ain't checking in, dude. I've been in. You see what I'm saying? Them my exact words what I told. It ain't no checking in with me, bro. I've been here. You know what I'm saying? He like 10 years younger than me. Why I got to check in when I've been here? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It ain't no checking in with me, dog, bro. I will never, Scott, Fred, I'm gonna tell you this. I will never check in my fucking neighborhood if I pull up in my neighborhood. You see what I'm saying? Because
you shouldn't have
what I done did for this area, dude. I get you counseled. You see what I'm saying? That was a real shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, these younger guys, man, they just don't have no respect. You know, it's the same thing, man, even in the hip-hop game, man. You know, like these podcasts that keep popping up, man. They want to act like they don't ask a lot of these artists the same shit we asked them 10 years ago. You know, I mean, and I'm not trying to be an arrogant asshole about it, but it's the truth. These motherfuckers just pop up every day, and there's just no respect, man. They don't even Google. I've seen rappers, like, we always laugh about this one, Mac J and myself, we'd always laugh about this, and Skinny May. There's this white rapper dude calls himself Aunt Banks. It's like, man, ain't you ever heard of the Big Badass or Sitting on Something Fat? Or, you know, can't you Google Aunt Banks? There's a real rapper producer named Ant Banks. You know, there's even
they
a DJ Paul who's laughing
you know
about
saying?
That too. There's a fake DJ Paul. Some
there's a dude named Tucson be using my name. You know, I'm like they like well you're not Tucson, you like I'm like, dude, that's like a Roman numeral. It ain't my fault that you're not educated, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I've been yeah, I'm like, dude, I've been like
cream,
you know,
green
like,
shit.
Yeah, I'm like, but if you go back and listen to my old stuff when it was cracking, it was Tucson. So I'm like, dude, both of those names I've been doing. You know what I'm saying? And the only reason, you know, it was an issue, I'm like, everybody don't want me Tucson. I'm like, damn, when I'm, ain't none of y'all skin like mine, so you're not Tucson. You're just a black motherfucker and just want to be Tucson. You know what I'm saying? So, if you want to ride off my name, cool, pay me. That's how I feel about it, you know. But they don't feel like they should pay me. But I'm like, I paved the way for y'all motherfuckers to be two-tone because my skin is actually two-tone. And they were like, my lawyer was like, well, they got a record label called Two-Tone. But I'm like, okay, I understand that, but all these artists want to be two-tone. And they was like, well, as long as you can pay it, I'll fuck them. You know what I'm saying? So, as long as you want to be me, you know, and that's why I say it on a lot of songs. A lot of people want to be me, but they can't. Because I get y'all money. Because you want to be two-tone. I think you should say you three-tone at this point because two-tone is collecting royalties off this name. So, okay. But common sense never kicked in. So, I don't give a fuck if 20 years from now if you want to be two-tone, just pay me.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Brother, it's always an honor to have you on the show. Definitely got to do it again, man. Let's give them this hot 40, but before we hit play on that, close out the show, I want to give you the floor so you can give them all your social media and you know, just let them know, man, where they can go get the music and where they can support.
Man, y'all can go to the BlackRainStore.com
and get the music exclusive from the website, or you can go to official Black Rain ENT and get the music. You know, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook. You know, it's Two-Tone. It's Two-Tone Gangster on Facebook, and it's IITONE at Instagram. Man, we just started a Snapchat, man. You know, man, because we to do it for that, I think I'm under. Hey, Prez, I think we need to do it only fans. You know, ain't just for the fans. But you know, we got a Twitter. You know what I'm saying? You can go to Black Rain ENT. You know, if anything, you can find us there, Black Rain ENT, on all platforms. So. We got the Mr. 420 coming out. Like the Jack Daniels drop 324. Man, we got plenty of music. If you just check in his sites, platforms, man, something coming every 2 to 3 weeks, man. We run that the vault, man. That's how it's going down, you know, now and forever. It ain't no pause. You know what I'm saying? As Poncho said, I don't know if y'all know, remember Poncho Villa from the Choices movie, he said it ain't no pause. So as from that on, it ain't no pause. We come.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. And again, everybody go to the Black Rain store, get all those classics, you know what I'm saying? You got tons of music, hell of a catalog. Always an honor. Like I said, brother, man, you take care of yourself. Let's do this again. And, man, this Hot 40. Tell us about this as we get out of here.
Man, this song, man, I was sitting there. Yeah, you know, everything for the dollar, you know what I'm saying? right now, I was just like, you know, they have to, you know, the women, everything to 40. You know what I'm saying? You get the head, everything is $40. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, you know, we was going to, you went to somebody, you know, you got to pay it. You know what I'm saying? Now everything is $40. I don't know what person invented the $40, but the $40 is the high 40 right now. So that's how I came up with the song. I was like, man, I ended up doing the song. Well, I ended up doing the first verse, but I was like, I didn't have a hook. And I didn't have a hook. I was just telling you how the song came about. I didn't have a hook. I did, like, I think I maybe did, like, 12 or 14 lines. I don't remember how many lines there. I'm just going to tell you off the top of my head. And I was like, I had to think of something else. I was sitting there in the studio. And somebody was like, the girl came in and she was talking to somebody. I don't remember who she was talking to. It could have been 420 or I don't remember, Squiggy, somebody, I don't know. Somebody was talking about, she was like, it could have been, I don't think it was Squiggy. Squiggy wasn't in there. But we were sitting there because we were vibing to the beat because I had just recorded the first 3 balls. And Mike was like, see, you got to, I said, Mike, Jake Daniels, he was like, you got to come to something. I was like, man, I can't think of no hook. And later, she was talking, which we were ignoring her. She was like, I have to wait up for the high 40. Bam, that was the song. So I went, so I ended up, in the verse, actually for them all. So, and she was talking. Because I was actually in the vocal booth at the time, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, you want me to keep going? And she was talking. She was constantly talking. So I was like, I said, just mute that part out. I was like, just mute the vibe. I was just keep rapping. And the song was actually a freestyle. It's not a actual, the song is not actual a song that I wrote. It was actually me just freestyling 40 bars. So that's why it was called Hot 40, because she was, and she said Hot 40, and that was it. So I just rapped 40 bars. And it was, and it ended up being 40 bars that I rapped.
Oh, that's
so that's how the song ended up being called Hot 40, because I actually rapped 40 bars. With her saying it, you feel what I'm saying? And
yeah.
that was the song right there.
Just right there, man, just off the top. And it's dope to hear how you come up with the titles of some of these songs too, man. This is Hot 40, Two-Tone. You know what I'm saying? Again, make sure to support them. Black Rain Entertainment, make sure to go get the music. And just be on the lookout for what's coming. Two-Tone, thank you again, my brother. You take care of yourself, man. We out.
Yeah, yeah. What it do? You heard me.
You know I'll do anything for the 40.
Ain't that what this little pocket in the pan is for? Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm on the porch chilling, talking to my folks again. I told them that it's up, niggas down to make some mission. I called Marty and he told me it was different ways. I called an audible, got me changing plays. Your friends ain't your friend, best believe I saw the clues. Money long, got them gone, bitch, I pay my dues. Niggas change and it's cool, that's what's up. I ain't looking around for niggas, I don't give a fuck. My black car status, I'm done playing with bills. Think I'm playing with your nigga, you can get killed. When your friends earn a fold, treat them like some hoes. I wash away the tide like your mama wash your clothes. I had to learn my worth, yeah, it's big amounts. Bank account lovely, ain't no discount. I met your bitch hooker, had you all shook. A crate in your trunk, watching cars on Facebook. You a bum ass nigga, it was plain to see. She want a real nigga, so she came and fucked with me. Top down with your bitch. Guess this nigga mad, cause he calling up the whole clique. Never fear a man, I can't do it, nigga. Ask your hoe, I pull up in the world. Met your bitch at the corner store. South Park and Lamar. Nigga, I ain't going far. See, we kinda different. You buy girl, and I buy the bar. Money different, people change, but I still remain the same. Clubhouse, crime clique. Bitch, just a black brain. Get your pistol, think it's tough. All you niggas team up. All the smoke, yeah, I wanna spray him with the beam up. Drop shit. Crazy like Jeffrey Lee, you dead on the spot, bitch. Memory gon' fade, got me crazy in the last day. 40 for the pussy, you a hoe, you just getting laid. Got the whole ratchet bitch, twerking at the red light. I ain't a plumber, whore, I ain't coming late, no fucking fight. Give me bread, maybe head, I ain't stutter what I said. Money right, fuck.